Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply. Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Welcome back. Chunky's on 106.7 The Fan and NBC Sports Washington, presented by Crop Metcalf, official heating and cooling company of the Junkies. Looking to be their next five-star HVAC technician or plumber, visit CropMetcalf.com to join their team. I'm John Paul Flame, joined by Eric Bickle and Johnny Cakes Auville, running the three-man show with Bish in Baldhead Island. But joining us right now on the BetQL guest hotline, bet smarter, beat the books, download the BetQL app today or visit BetQL.com. It's John Feinstein, best-selling author, Washington Post columnist. Golf season's now in full swing. Golfdom is fully stocked to serve the local golf market for the 40th year. Come see the latest equipment, apparel, shoes, accessories, and more at Golfdom and Tyson's or at GolfdomGolf.com. Golfdom, live the game. Good morning, John.
Good morning, JP. Good morning, everybody.
Hello.
Morning. Boy, so, talk about a perfect day to play golf. Jeepers.
Is it
gorgeous.
Is it going to be humid, though, again today, or no? Is it
I don't think so. And when I walked out this morning to get the paper, now granted that's early in the morning, it was perfect. I mean, if I was playing golf today, I'd want to be on the first tee right then, right now.
Right.
I played, actually, the last time that I played, John, it's the first time I think I've done this, I played with a 6:26 a.m. tee time, and it was awesome.
Well, yeah, you know, once you get out of bed and you're moving, getting up early in the morning is. I love getting up early in the morning when I got stuff to do. Now, I don't do it if I don't have stuff to do. But gosh, I love getting up with the sun. And we used to, when I was a kid, working at Gardner's Bay Country Club on Shelter Island. We used to call it Insomniac's Golf Club because if you looked in the parking lot at 7 in the morning, it was packed because everybody wanted to play early.
Right.
So, John, I saw you tweeted about our interview with Mike Rizzo when Rizzo said that the Nats aren't trading Juan Soto.
I would say
75% of our listeners didn't believe him. What was your takeaway?
Well, I mean, again, what were those two words he had in there? It was a hedge. There was a hedge in there.
Yeah.
There was a hedge in there. And so, and look, plans change. You have to be fair to the guy that way. I mean, if Soto and they're dealing with Scott Boras. I mean, that alone is hard. And Rizzo has always been intimidated by Boras. I don't know why, but he has been. And so Boras said to them, look, he's going to leave. He doesn't want to play his career in Washington. Now, again, I don't see that happening. But if that were to occur, and they've already offered, what, $350 million, which was low ball for Soto, in spite of the season he's having now, then you might look around and say, okay, if we're going to lose him to free agency, let's see what we can get. But I said this, what, a week or two ago? The last thing they should do, if they have a list of 100 possible moves, trading Soto should be 101st. He is the heart and soul of what is left of the franchise at this moment. I read after your interview, CBSSports.com had a story. I can't remember the name of the guy who wrote it, Dane something.
Dane Perry.
Is that it?
Yeah.
And he said, Rizzo has never gone in for rebuilding. What was last July?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, for crying out loud, you can call it any euphemism you want. Quick reboot. They're the worst team in baseball right now. I mean, record-wise and the way they're playing. They've been outscored in their last four games 31-6. The Orioles are the Yankees compared to the Nats right now.
Oh, that's quite
because at least every night they're competitive.
Right.
You know, they're not good, but they're competitive.
But John, we know that you're not a Rizzo guy. We like.
No, I'm not a Rizzo guy, but yeah. I agree with what he's saying. If he means it, that he's not going to trade Soto, I 100% agree with that.
Right, right. But I feel like, okay, you don't like Rizzo. We love him. We've had him on the show for years. We've gotten to know him a little bit. So
right,
we
he gets
him.
Paid to go on the show. Right.
Yeah, but we've also
so do I, by the way, for
yeah,
the record, so
yeah,
do I.
Yeah, but we've gotten to know him, so we like him. So
I know him too. I've known him for years.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. So, when you say these kinds of things, it almost feels like. Like, I think he's built the equity to have this season, this rebuild, and I have faith that they're going to get back. I don't know.
Okay.
It may not happen next year. It may take a while. But,
okay.
But, I mean, they've accomplished a lot in the last 10 years, so to trash it for right now, okay, they're bad.
No. Look, he's got the equity. I don't disagree with you there. I mean,
yeah.
They won a World Series.
Yeah.
And they were consistently good from 2012 and to 2019. 2020, you throw out. Now, they were bad last year. They weren't playing well when he did make all the trades in July. Well, they end up losing 96 games. That's a bad year.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? They're going to be bad. They're bad this year. So we're talking about two straight bad years, and you say maybe next year.
Probably next year.
We will see. We will see if all these prospects he traded for when he unloaded, you know, Scherzer and Trey Turner and all those other guys, we will see what they develop into. That will be the long-term test for him. Short-term, 100% right. He built a team that won a World Series. End of story. It doesn't matter. You know, you sometimes forget. I don't like Tiger Woods, right?
Mm-hmm.
But I say all the time he's the greatest player in the history of golf.
Right.
You know, not Jack Nicklaus, who, all due respect to Nicklaus, who won more majors than Tiger, but Tiger at his best was the greatest player ever.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, Rizzo's been a very good general manager. I disagreed with what he did with Strasburg in 2012. That was 10 years ago, for crying out loud.
Mm-hmm.
I disagreed with it. They won a World Series in 2019, and good for them. And like I said, they were a consistently good team for 8 straight seasons. Good for him.
John, what
do you think? That has nothing to do with the way I feel about a guy personally.
What do you think the fate is of both Rizzo and Davey? I think they're both in the last years of their deals.
They are.
There's questions about the ownership going forward.
Yeah, I think that's all up in the air because of that. You know, do the learners lock in something for them before they sell the team out of respect for what they've already accomplished? Or do they just, or do the new owners say, hey, we may want to start all over again in 2024. We may want to go out and get a new GM and a new manager. I don't think anybody knows the answer to that question, except perhaps the learners if they're making a decision on whether to give them new contracts before they sell. By the way, somebody who's in a position to know told me there are 20 applications, in Major League Baseball's offices for potential owners, and one of them is Ted Leonsis.
Yes. It's a good nugget. It's good to know.
Yeah. Good nugget. Good to know.
I want to get your thoughts on the LIV Golf field was finally announced. And, you know, a lot of the names we knew. I'm a little surprised that Dustin decided to do it. But then when I saw he was getting $125 million,
right.
Now I get it.
Yeah. I think a lot of people were surprised that Dustin Johnson would sign on here. We don't know what the heck's going to go on. How is the tour going to react to all of these guys? There are 42, I think, that are committed now. Will they suspend them? They're not going to ban them. They're not going to ban anybody. They might suspend them. Fining them heavily does nothing. I said, you know, Dustin Johnson is getting $125 million, and the tour says, well, we're going to fine you $1 million. So what? He'll say cash or check. I think Dustin Johnson must feel, again, I have not spoken to him, must feel that he's at a point in his career where he's probably not going to win any more majors with all the young players coming up behind him. I'm not sure that I agree with that, but he must feel that way.
Why?
And because his game hasn't been as good the last couple of years as it has been. He's closing in on 40. Again, I'm saying I'm not sure I would agree with that sentiment that he can't, because with the way he plays when he's at his best, I think he is capable of winning more majors. But, you know, different players have different ideas about what's most important in golf. Now, Dustin's won 2 majors. He's going to be in the Hall of Fame.
Mm-hmm.
If he put his clubs down today, never played again, he's a Hall of Famer. And so maybe he's just saying, okay, I'm going to cash in as much as I can for the next few years. I don't agree with that. I think they've all got the big names all have plenty of money. Sergio Garcia, who I like a lot, as you guys know, told somebody while the tour was here a few weeks ago, well, this LIV thing, which he's part of, it'll give us a chance to finally get the money we deserve. And the answer was, what do you mean the money we deserve? We're golfers. What do we deserve? We're making millions of dollars to play golf.
Well, I think
I think a lot of guys lose track of that.
Yeah, it's true, but you know, they generate billions, and so they probably do deserve a higher percentage of it, just the way that works.
Yeah, you know, you can make that argument in any sport.
Yep.
I mean, football players who have the shortest careers don't have guaranteed contracts.
Yep.
You know, is that fair? No. Were the NCAA basketball football players not being able to make money off their name, images, and likenesses, was that fair? No, it wasn't fair. The NCAA, by the way, I would ask people to please read my column in today's Post on the NCAA, in which I encourage them to move next year's Final Fours, both of which are in Texas, Houston and Dallas, out of Texas to make a statement about their complete lack of gun laws. And you can go on about other states having bad gun laws, too. I agree. There are 21 states that have at least gun laws that at least call for background checks and not allowing assault rifles on the street without good reason. There is no good reason to me for an assault rifle to be on the street. But anyway, I wrote a column on that today, and the NCAA is not going to do anything. They're going to hide under their usual rock, but I think it's important to make that point. So I went completely off the rails there.
John, going to the NHL, were you surprised that the Rangers dispatched the Lightning the way they did?
Yeah, I was surprised in the sense that you don't see Vasiliev giving up six goals ever. I mean, he's one of the two or three best goalies in hockey. And they bombarded them. The Rangers are they're really confident right now, especially at home. They won all three of their games against the Hurricanes at home pretty easily. In each case, same thing. Took the lead in the first period, didn't look back. They're on a roll. And this happens in the playoffs, as we know. You know, we've seen eighth seeded teams win the Stanley Cup, for crying out loud. That doesn't happen in basketball. The Rangers were a good team during the regular season, not the best. But they've got home ice. They had a better regular season record than the Lightning, who, of course, know how to win in the playoffs since they've won back-to-back Stanley Cups. But I would say this. One win does not a series make, especially when it involves a team like Tampa Bay. I would be surprised if they don't bounce back tonight.
Have to get your thoughts on the reports that Washington – it's stunning to me. It's sort of a self-admission that we can barely do this, that they're willing to put out, Dan's willing to put out a plan for a stadium to have the smallest stadium in the NFL, 55,000. And I get it. They're not drawing
right
well.
Now that he wouldn't sell that out.
Right. They might as well go play at Audi Field right now.
Right.
But 2017, they were selling 70,000 tickets. That was just 5 years ago.
They claimed that, yes.
But still, it was a lot more full than it is now.
Yes.
So, anyway, I'm just kind of stunned by that sort of self-admission. I know if I was the owner of the team, I don't think my ego could handle being in the seventh largest market in the country and having the smallest stadium in the NFL.
Your point about Dan's ego is interesting. But having said that, RFK seat is 55,000.
Yeah.
And it's one of the greatest home field advantages in the history of sports.
Mm-hmm.
And if you have 55,000 and you get decent, not even good, you get decent, you're going to sell it out. But the thing to remember that people forget is they could play and did play, right, for a year in empty stadiums, mm-hmm. and they're still going to make money because the television contracts are so out of control. So he can build a 55,000-seat stadium. He can jack up the prices because the tickets would become more valuable as mm-hmm. a result. And financially, not even bat an eye. And I actually think building a smaller stadium might be a smart thing. Remember when they built all the new baseball stadiums, starting with Camden Yards?
Yep.
One of the things they did was they built them smaller.
Mm-hmm.
Because they were, you know, aesthetically better and because there were no bad seats or few bad seats. And because it made it a tougher ticket. The Orioles sold out Camden Yards, I don't know what the number was, but for like every game for 4 years.
Yeah.
When it first came online, because it became a thing to go to Camden Yards, and because the Orioles were pretty good during that stretch.
Yep.
But I don't think that's a bad move to build a smaller stadium. I you know, the trend for a long, of course, when Snyder first bought the team, he expanded the,
yeah, wanted to be the
seating. He had obstructed views and all that stuff. But I don't think that would be a bad move at all.
Smaller is fine. Smallest is where I draw the distinction. I can't have the smallest.
I mean,
we're in D.C.
If you had the loudest,
yeah,
or one of the loudest, which they did at RFK. I mean, I was in RFK when the stands literally shook during games.
Yeah.
You know, and the issue to me is where you put the stadium, whatever the size is. Because you put it out in Woodbridge, it's going to be a nightmare for everybody, including people just trying to get home on a Sunday afternoon.
Mm-hmm.
Who don't go to the game.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I think that's a little bit of a bluff by Snyder.
Yeah, I don't think
to try to get the attention of D.C. and Maryland, maybe. And I would be surprised. Remember once upon a time they talked about building a baseball stadium out in Loudoun County?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, to get a baseball team. And then thank goodness they didn't do that. But there's a lot involved in something like this. And the other thing is, the more Dan talks about the stadium, and the more he's got a smokescreen for everything else that's going on with his franchise.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you guys are talking about that rather than the fact that he should be banned from all sports.
We'd be fine with that.
I agree with that fully. He's the worst owner in all of professional sports.
Which is saying a lot.
I know.
That's a hell of a statement, and I don't disagree with you.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, and
Who's in the running with him?
Angelos has always been in the running.
Right.
And, you know, look what he's done in Baltimore. Donald Sterling's gone.
I used to say the Bidwells.
The McNair family is in the running. The McNair family loves having Snyder in the league because people aren't paying as much attention to how bad they are.
I think Irsay's scum, but that's just me.
Yeah, well, the interesting thing about Irsay is his father was so bad that by comparison he's considered reasonable. You know, I mean, it's all relative. I was in a locker room, this is 100 years ago, in Miami. We used to cover the Colts, and I wasn't a beat writer or anything, but we'd send a different person. I was in Miami for a college game, and George Solomon said, stay down there, cover the Colts and Dolphins the next day. And Mike McCormick was the coach, and the Dolphins blew him out. And Bob Irsay came in the locker room. He was so drunk he could barely stand up. I mean, it was embarrassing. So by comparison, Jim Irsay, with his issues and being Jim Irsay, he's, you know, he's the Maris.
Right. That's crazy.
All right, John.
It's a loons.
Yeah, a loon. That's a very good word. I might try to work that into something I write this weekend.
Ooh, look at that.
Nice.
We'll talk to you next week.
I will not give you credit.
Who knew the EV would be your muse, John? That's weird.
I could use a muse and someone to amuse. I could use both.
All right.
All right. Thank you, John.
Right, have a great weekend, guys.
Yeah. You too.
See ya.
It's John Feinstein, brought to you by Golfdom. Golf season now in full swing. Golfdom fully stocked to serve the local golf market for the 40th year. Come see the latest equipment, apparel, shoes, accessories, and more at Golfdom in Tysons or at golfdomgolf.com. Golfdom, live the game. Coming up next, EB's entertainment page.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.